Father, we glorify thy name, Lord. Every day we bless the Lord. We bless the Lord at all times. Your praise, O Lord, shall continually be in our mouth. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for so much in loving us. We have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, in that he was tested at all points like we are, and yet committed no sin. So he's able to succor us and help us, and he ever lives to make intercession for us. Mm-hmm. So we can be bold that in this world, no matter what we say, we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. He said, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. So we glorify your name. Thank you for a new week, Lord. All we have to do is just to keep our hearts in his hand and follow him. You know, he is the last thing. We will never walk in darkness. He is with us. In this story, he says, you pass through the water, it won't overflow you, I will be with you. Pass through the fire, it won't be burnt, I will be with you. So we have confidence in the Lord. We thank you this morning, Father, for the time of fellowship. And now I want to read the scripture just for a few minutes there, Lord. Heavenly Father, bless the reading of your word. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Kind of a different message this morning. So, and so in divine reckoning, there are three classes of people in the human race. According to God's reckoning of the human race, there are three classes of people. You are the Jews, you are the Gentiles, then you have the church. As far as God, we have God's reckoning of the human race, you know. So this morning I want to touch briefly at the Jewish race. See what the word of God said about her, that race, from the beginning, and how history bears this out to this very day. And it's just like in the future, the Lord lives, I would like to talk about the past, the present, and the future of that nation. Then, in the future, if the Lord permits, talk about the Gentiles. We know so much about the church, right? By this time. But this reclassification, I think we can benefit by knowing something about them, what God thinks about them, what God says about them. So this morning, let me just read the few scriptures here. Exodus 19, the 5th verse. So concerning the nation of Israel, and one of the three classes of people that God has. 19:5 of Exodus. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. That's God talking to Israel right there. He repeats the same thing in Deuteronomy 14 verse 2. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord has chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. Even the psalmist by the Holy Ghost said the same thing in Psalm 135, the 4th verse. For the Lord has chosen Jacob unto himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure. So, given those three scriptures, I want to speak this morning, briefly, very brief study this morning, the peculiarity of the Jew. That is the message. The peculiarity of the Jew. Now, the history of the Jewish race, it's without a parallel in human history. I've given you a paraphrasing what God says about them, right? The peculiar people, right? I gave by three scriptures, right? So the history of the Jewish race is without a parallel in human history. For upwards of 4,000 years, amid all civilizations and countries, and under all conditions of government, the Jewish race has existed a distinct people with laws, habits, and customs distinctly their very own, quite different from any other nation. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, we have all heard about an ancient legend, that the field, that a bird called Phoenix, right? This field that a bird in the ancient called Phoenix. What is this bird? This bird typically burns to death and is reborn from its own ashes. That's how you see the sign, our logo here in the city of Phoenix, it's like a bird, right? That's the Phoenix, right? You know, sacrificially, he burned himself to ashes and then will appear again. So I say that because the Jewish race is not unlike the Phoenix bird, really, you know. Though oppressed, downtrodden, carried captive to other lands, scattered among the nations, they have risen from the ashes of their dispersion and appear now and again upon the page of history. The Jews have all the time, you know. They are remarkable in the first place for their antiquity. No nation can trace back its lineage by the clear light of the Bible history so far as the Jews can do. In comparison with the Jews, the nations which are making the history of the world today are just very young compared to the Jewish people. No matter what, even America itself and so on, all the nations and so on, I mean, they are very young compared to the Jews and so on. The golden age of Israel's glory was long before the glory days of Greece, you know history, the ancient Greece and so on, and even Rome. Long before all other authentic and circumstantial records, the nation of Israel was an organized, civilized, and well-established people. All because of what God said about them in those three, as I read before, so they are peculiar people and some of us know the peculiarity of the Jew. They had a literature before most nations had even letters at all, you know. A literature that today, in the scriptures, is more widely diffused than the literature of any other people. The peculiarity of the Jew, the God's ancient people, right? You know, Assyria has perished. Babylon is in heaps. Rome has tottered and fallen. Egypt has become a base kingdom. And the Bible predicted, Ezekiel 29:14 says so, become a base nation. It will become a base nation. But the Jew has outlived all his conquerors and walks on scarce amid the general wreck. Despite for centuries among all nations, without a national center, no capital for many centuries, no government, no flag, or rallying point over the centuries, secular or religious, he has never been absorbed by the nation, nor lost his identity or national peculiarities and characteristics. That is the Jew, the nation of Israel, the Jewish race and so on. God said they are peculiar, right? So, I will say, now, for many centuries, we had a unique spectacle of a nation without a king, no government or land, retaining its national existence, and a land that seems to be under a curse, awaiting the return of its legal owner. That occasion was like a desert for many, many centuries until they came back. No nation has ever had such manifest and visible tokens of the divine presence, the peculiarity of the nation of Israel. For them, the Red Sea was driven back, Exodus 14, and the Jordan River parted, Joshua chapter 4. They were miraculously fed in the wilderness for 40 years, Exodus 16, and divinely sheltered and guided by the pillar of cloud and of fire, Exodus 13, and the blowing of ram's horns, the walls of a besieged city called Jericho, fell, Joshua chapter 6. And the sun and the moon stayed in their courses that they might have time to slay their enemies, Joshua chapter 10. The angel of the Lord encamped about them, and one angel slew 185,000 of the army of the Assyrians. 2 Kings 19:35. No nation has ever given to the world such a number of great men, such a man of faith as Abraham, such a great leader and lawgiver as Moses, such statesmen as Joseph in Egypt and Daniel in Babylon, such a king as David and wise man as Solomon. The peculiarity of the nation of Israel. Just kind of a summarized kind of concerning this race, peculiar. God said they are peculiar, right? No nation has produced such seers, meaning prophets and so on, as the Hebrew prophets. Talk of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. And no such God man as that above all men, called the man of Galilee, came through the Jewish race, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God man. In the first century, meaning after the coming of Christ, in the first century, there is no name that shines more radiant than that of the Apostle Paul. We're just talking about him just now. You know, more radiant than that of Apostle Paul. And in modern days, the men who have been and are making history are Jews. Whether you know it or not, today, people are making more history today are the Jews. I give you examples. Israel has earned a reputation in recent years as a technology powerhouse. It has the second highest concentration of high-tech companies in the whole wide world after Silicon Valley. Israel is number two, you know, the peculiarity. And the largest number of startups per capita in the world is Israel. Now, you all have cell phones, right? Now, where did the cell phone come from? The original cell phone technology was first developed by Israeli engineers. That's right. Most of the technology in your mobile phone today can be traced back to Israeli engineering. Peculiar nation. So when you think of your cell phone, think about Israel. It was made from there. The original design was come from Israel. So that's the clear. The preservation of the Jewish people is the miracle of history. How they were preserved. The Jew, in one word, for to describe them, is the proof of the inspiration of the scripture, meaning the Bible. See, the Jew is. How are we to account for the wonderful preservation of the Jewish race? How can we account for it? We can only account for it on the supposition that God had and still has some great work for them to do. We believe that God raises up individuals, right, for special ministry. Can't he raise a nation also for special work to do for him? Of course he can. So in the first place, the Jewish race was raised up to reaffirm and teach that there is only one God. Their peculiarity. Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, he is one Lord. In the days of Abraham, the nations of the earth were given over to universal idolatry. Pantheism, meaning that, a doctrine, they identify God with the universe. The universe is God, right? Pantheism. The days of Abraham and so on, you know. And polytheism. That's what the world was full of in the time of Abraham and so forth, you know. For 2,000 years, around 1921 BC to AD 30, after the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for the first time, no other people but the Jews believed or thought one God. They are all thinking there are many gods, even in my country. They worship all kind of idols in my tribe and all kind of things like that, you know. Only, you know, the Jews and so on. The Jews have been the teachers of monotheism, meaning one God, to the nation. The secularity of the Jews. Very, very short thing this morning. I know I'm talking about this. In the future, I want to talk about the past, the presence of the future, you know, of the Jews. Now, no Gentile nation ever became monotheistic without a touch by Jewish influence. Not one. In the second place, the Jewish race was raised up to be the writers, the preservers, and transmitters of the Holy Scripture. That's right. Romans 3:1, let me read that one to you. Romans 3:1. It says this: what advantage then has the Jew? Much every day, but chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. See? Every page and book in the Bible were written by the Jew. I tell you, every page in that Bible written by the Jew. The Jews took special care, providentially committed to them, or to preserve the scriptures and keep them from being tampered with, and if it had not been for them, they would have been lost. But providentially, God made the Jew to preserve the scriptures. Now, another reason is this: the Jewish race was raised up so that through them God might come to redeem the world. We are read in 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. So we look at the scripture, how carefully the Lord's genealogy have been preserved in the scriptures, from Adam to his birth at Bethlehem. All that is written in Luke 23 to about 38 verse and so on, that you know. The genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ from Adam down to when he was born in Bethlehem, all preserved. Another thing is this: the Jewish race was raised up that they might have the war, that they might save the world from moral putrefaction, moral decay. Whether you know it or not, the morale of the world, God raised them all to preserve the morale of the world one way or the other. Now, I say that because of this. That is, the salvation of the nation, morally and physically, and the preservation of the human race on the heart depends on the preservation and continuance of the Jews as a race. Now, the Lord imparts something in Matthew chapter 5, what I'm talking about right now. What did he say in Matthew 5:13? Talking to those Jews, I believe, he said, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing, but to be cast out, and to be trodden underfoot of men. Meaning that the Jewish race were to be the means of preventing the moral putrefaction of the world, and that if they became extinct, as a nation, God will destroy all mankind on the face of the earth, as he destroyed the antediluvians when Noah and his family were safely shut in the ark, or as he destroyed the cities of the flame, Sodom and Gomorrah, when Lot had escaped from them. This can be seen by a careful study of the following scripture. Let me read Acts 15, that verse 16, through about 18. After this, I will return. I will build again the tabernacle of David, which is falling down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men, might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles, you see that, upon whom my name is called, said the Lord, who dreads all these things, known unto God, and of his works, from the beginning of the world. Now, in Romans chapter 11, I want to read a couple of verses from there, beginning from verse 1, I will speak to verses in there, Romans 11, 1. I say then, as God cast away his people, God forbid, for also I'm an Israelite, Apostle Paul was writing here, by the Holy Ghost and so forth, of the seed of Abraham, out of the tribe of Benjamin, God has not cast away his people, which he foreknew. What ye not what the scripture says of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets, and dig down thy altar, and I'm left alone, and they take my life. So, and I want to read a couple of verses more in that place and so on. But what said the altar of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Verse 5, even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. I'm going to jump to verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled? I'm talking that unless God restore Israel again, I mean God tell them what to be the preservation of the morale of the world. Anyway, I say, verse 11, then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness. Jump to verse 15. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Verse 17. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a white olive, talking to the Gentiles now, tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakers of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. Verse 23. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For verse 24. For if thou were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall this, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I will not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part is happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be brought in. And so all Israel shall be saved, he said, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness for Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, which I shall take, when I shall take away their sins. So, this present degenerate condition of the world is owing to the fact, whether we know it or not, directly or indirectly, that the Jews have lost their favor. See? And the salt is saltness. According to that, the Lord said in Matthew 5, and until the Jews recover their favor, the generation will continue to develop until the time comes that the smell of decomposition of the decaying nationalities of the earth shall call for divine interposition, and the sword be received by the conversion of the Jews, and the Jewish nation again takes its place among the nations of the earth. That is futuristic. There are nations right now. I'm talking back into the future. Now, just a brief outlook about the peculiarity of the Jews, kind of a little window into it. If the Lord willing, in the future, I want to kind of just talk about their past, present, and the future. Now, having said that, the peculiarity. What about the church? What about us? Are we going to envy? Are we to envy the Jew today? Not really. Not when we consider what the Bible says about us, being the church. We are peculiar people too. Titus 2:14. So we don't have to envy the Jew. We are also peculiar. Titus 2:14. Who gave himself for us, in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous unto good works. So I don't have to every Jew, they have their place, the church has its place. More about that, peculiarity of the church of the living God. 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Are you happy that you are in the light and so forth? I think in Colossians chapter 2, the Bible says that who has delivered us from the authority or power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So I don't have a scripture here, but it's time here. Even more, why we should be rejoicing and you know, and some of that, you know, in Hebrews 11:39. Though they write the scripture, to them are committed the oracles of God. Look at Hebrews 11:39. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith. Read Hebrews 11, they are all Hebrews, all of them, in that report. Except Rahab, of course, became a Hebrew woman because of it became a messianic line and so on, that you know. So they were all Jews and so on, that you know. These all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, meaning the church, right? That they, with all those experts, without us, should not be made perfect. So, what a blessing, you know, for the Gentile, you know, church, or the bride of Christ, or the church of the living God. One more thing. Do you know that the election of the church predates that of Israel? Yeah, the church election predated the election of the Jew. And what I mean. Now, we know that Israel was chosen or elected in Abraham from the foundation of the world. But the church, however, was chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Let me give you scripture. Showing how the Gentiles, we don't have to envy them. They are in their position, and we are in our position. We are peculiar too. So what I said that can be inferred. I say that the Jews were chosen in Abraham, you know, from the foundation of the world. But the church was chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. That's what I mean. This can be inferred from the judgment of the nation, where the Lord declared that the great sin of the nation was how they failed to help Israel. He called them his brethren, right? In their distress. That can be seen when you read Matthew 25, and the parable of the 10 virgins and so on. Then the Lord gave something about the sheep nation and the goat nation. So paraphrase right now, you know. So the goat nation and the sheep nation. He told the sheep nation that day, when I was hungry, and you fed me, right? When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was, had to give me water. Then they will say, Lord, when will you see you naked and we clothe you? When did we see you hungry and we fed you? Oh, in as much as you do it to one of these my brethren, you have done it unto me, right? So I just paraphrased Matthew 25, then I read verse 34 right now. I'm showing that the church was elected before the foundation of the world, whether the Jew was elected from the foundation of the world. So now, Matthew 25:24. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, meaning the sheep nations, right? Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now, verse 40 says, and the king shall answer and say unto them at the right hand, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of these of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. So who are his brethren? Like I said before, well, why the believing Gentiles, we are spiritual brethren of Christ, we are. But the Jews were the Christ brethren in the flesh. See that what it is, according to the scriptures, you know. So now, those nations will be judged according to how they treated Israel, his brethren, you know. So that's why he brought it out that kingdom prepared for them from the foundation of the world. So now, so we see. So it will appear that the nations will receive judgment based on their treatment of Israel, the Lord's brethren. Israel will certainly be among those sheep nations at his right hand, of who he said will inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. How about the church? And the greeting here this morning, the church, however, was chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Not from, but before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1, the couple of verses from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. So you were chosen in Christ before the world began, before the foundation of the world. You didn't know it. How did you know it? Only one person, only one man, calling a man, knew that he was chosen before the world began. That is Christ. Because he said, Father, the glory will give me before the foundation of the world. Like when I was my father's loin, naturally, I didn't know myself. So he was you are chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. I don't know it, but you don't know, but that is the truth, Even Job was saying, where were you, Job? When the morning star, sang together. And the sons of God shouted for joy. We didn't know it, but we were there, according to the scripture. Mystery, isn't it? Many, many mysteries in the Bible. That's why we don't understand spiritual things by our physical senses. It has to be revelated, revelation, rather, like last Sunday, right? Revelation. Anyway, so it looked just the peculiarity of the Jews. Then I brought it without to envy them. We are also peculiar people, royal priests and so on. Revelation chapter 1 says, unto him that loved us and has washed us in his own blood and has made us to be kings. Revelation 1:6, I believe it is, somewhere in India. And priests unto God his Father. So we are kings and priests too, according to the word of God. Now, seeing that we are peculiar people too, I was talking about the Jew this morning. There are three classifications. You are the Jew, you are the Gentiles, and then you have the church. And then this morning I just kind of summarized the peculiarity of Israel via that God said in the Bible. And we went through history briefly and so forth, that how every important person in this world and so forth come from the Jew and so on. Now this morning, so seeing that we are peculiar, therefore I want to say this one in closing this morning. Let us this morning heed the wonderful exhortation of scripture in 2 Peter 1:10. Brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. You were elected before the foundation of the world, right? So this morning, as we go here this morning, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Especially, I put this one here, this is true, especially in this last day. For what I see, I look at the church is going through what I will call the baptism. Individual members of the true body of Christ is going on through trials today. And the Bible predicted to this story, So that's why we should be endeavored to make our calling and election sure in times like this, because the man's child is about to be born. There will be baptism. Individual members of that elect body are going through something, one trial or the other, it has always been so. And the Lord foretold these things and so forth. Like Elijah of old, very close to the translation. After all the great miracles, yeah, we have miracles, yes, slay the prophet of Baal, call down fire from heaven, only to run for the political, persecutor, and so on, Jezebel and so on, oh my father, not even worthy, let me not die, he said, and so on, So Elijah says, at the end of time, we are saying the same thing for the translation, it's going on right now, individually, and so on, So individual of the elect body facing severe trial today, one way or the other. But we have the comfort of the scripture. We are told in John 16:33, the Lord told us these things. Closing. These things are spoken unto you, that in me ye may have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, the Lord said. In Romans chapter 5, verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. The Lord said, you have to be the issue of us as well as no weather. Indeed, we had not great tribulation, but a trial, you know, in this sense, need trials as well as you know. So, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations or trials, we glory in it. Also, knowing that tribulation or trial worketh patience. That's what the Bible says. And patience, experience. We don't get experience. We are getting experience in our trials. And patience, experience. And experience, hope. Verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. This is why it's a comforter, right? I will not leave you comfortless, he said. Then you are not a comforter, who is to abide with you forever. Like we are talking before the service, he's saying, you is with me. So the Holy Ghost is with you, the Lord is in you, you know. Helping your infirmity, helping my infirmity, helping in our prayers, show us things to come and so forth. So it's with us, the Lord is with us and so on. So this morning, whatever we need, no matter how long you'll be praying about something, stay alive with your prayer. Mark 9:23. If thou canst believe, all things are possible. To him that believe, God cannot lie, can he? Not a man that he should lie. As he spoke in one scripture, and will not do it or make it good. So, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, what things ever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and God promise you and I, we shall receive them. See? Matthew 21:22. And all things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Last scripture, 1 Corinthians 3:21. All things are yours, towards the end of it. All things are yours. God says so and so forth. Don't let time, also called delay, discourage you. God says shall come to pass. Whatever you are asking to do, says shall come to pass. Hold on to your faith. Turn your faith into trust, you know, or a long time turn into trust, it shall come to pass. You know, so as the Bible says, what shall he not also freely give unto us? He that spared not his own son, but deliver him for us all. How shall he not also with him freely give us all things, he says. That scripture, you know. So this morning, not only is Israel peculiar among the nations, but the church of the living God, we are peculiar people, and the great promises and so forth are waiting us. And before we know it, you know, the coming of the Lord is at hand. And he will take care of you, take care of me, before that time and so forth. Bring us through any kind of a trial that we may go through. So Father, we thank you this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the ancient people, your ancient people. We bring it out to show for the Lord's faithfulness to his people. And they are example to us. No matter what they went through, even when they sinned and they were dispersed, you brought them back again. And now, we also the church can learn from them today, so we bring it out that way. That we are also peculiar, you know, people of the Lord. And God's faithfulness is with his church. Now, even to them, they are the first, they become the last. And the last has become the first. So we thank you this morning. As we go this morning, see the omnipotence of our God. He is omnipotent, all powerful, all knowing. So we thank you this morning. And he has even given to us, he has delivered omnipotence to our hands through his name. Whatever we shall ask the Father in his name, say we give it unto us. He gave unto us power over all the power of the enemy. Luke 10:19. He told us in Mark 16. In my name shall we cast out devils, he said, that name, the Lord Jesus Christ. And lay hand on the city shall recover, and all these wonderful promises. So Lord, this morning, let us see ourselves in the light of the scripture, that we are peculiar people unto the Lord. We are kings and priests, ordained of God. He said, I have chosen you. You are not choosing me. I have chosen you, he said. And I chose you before the foundation of the world. So we go this morning, Lord, with our head lifted up spiritually, Lord. And Lord, going and walking in victory. We are overcomers. We are more than conquerors. In all the things we face in this world, we are more than conquerors because he that is in us, the Lord Jesus Christ, is greater than he that is in the world. Lord, the Bible says, little children, you have overcome the wicked world. In the eyes of God, we can go in that victory every day. We have, in the mind of God, we have done it. So we thank you this morning, Father. We worship you. We glorify thy name, Lord. We commit the week to your hand, Lord. All that we do to the hand of the Lord, that everywhere we turn, we will find favor. Find favor in the business place. Find favor in the workplace. You say you will guide us with your eyes. You will order our steps, step by step. You say the step of the righteous man, they are ordered of the Lord. This present evil world, Bible says, has delivered us from this present evil world. Lord, as our light, let it to shine, that men will see this light and glorify your name, Lord. We thank you, and we say, Lord Jesus, even so come quickly. Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen.